We're off.
Where's the script? Is that 3, 2, 1? Welcome, dear listeners. This is episode 151 of the Devon Dice Podcast. Woohoo! We're back.
Yeah.
Some kind of cheer or train horn at the same time. Anyway, so we're bringing the exciting news and crowdfunding wrap up of since we've been away. Again, apologies for the big absence. Stuff happens, life is going on, and I did warn you this could happen a bit more frequently at the minute. Hello there, people. This is Joe in the editing booth. This is far, far into the future now. Basically, as I have just explained, things were going to be a little bit rough in this period. And yes, after recording this podcast, I literally did not have time or the brain power to sit down and edit and put this out. I do apologize. All this will be out of date. Every bit of news, every bit of crowdfunding has happened, been finished, and all I can do is apologize. But yeah, I have been non-stop writing essays to finish my course, to get myself into uni in September. So needs must, I prioritized, and sorry, podcast took a wayside for a minute, but we will be back. I am now finished. I am now resting up until September, and hopefully we'll be able to bring you a lot more podcasting content in between. So stay tuned. We should be back up and running now. But tonight I am joined by only one of the hosts, and that is Nick. He's in the. He's here.
Hello, everybody. I'm here.
He's
here again.
So yeah. So Torquay has been and gone. That was like 2 months ago. We have just got back from Fox and Hound Board Gaming Weekend. We will bring a podcast, hopefully, on both of those of what we got up to on those. So hold your horses for that. We will do it. Bake On is just around the corner as we record on the 8th and 12th of April in Kenford, just outside Exeter. I will be going along for one day. That doesn't clash with my work. But yeah, that's been going on for centuries. So yeah, pop along if you want to play more games. So yeah, Nick. It's like, it feels like ages since we last recorded, and it pretty much has. So
It was almost a month ago, wasn't it?
Probably.
I remember that.
It was one of our top
I think it was 2 weeks before. Yeah, it was the top 10 of 2011.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, February 17th. Wow, over a month.
So we are just going to bring you like what's been happening in the news, not going all the way back since we last recorded, but in the last week or so, and then also what crowdfunding area is out at the minute, because there's some interesting projects going, as well as interesting news. So this got both me and Sam excited when Nick posted this up, and it's that Restoration Games is going to be redoing Star Wars The Queen's Gambit, but titled as
Lord of the Rings, The King's Gambit. Oh, what a switcheroo. You love it.
It's pretty awesome, actually, I think. That they've. I reckon this would work. I think this would just be just as good.
I think, yeah. And I think this is thematically probably better titled than Queen's Gambit, which is a very small part of the first, the Star Wars Episode 1. Whereas The King's Gambit is all about the, I've forgotten all the names of all the characters. Aragorn is attempting to draw the Eye of Sauron away while Frodo and Sam get through Mordor. So it's this the big epic battle when they're fighting all the forces of the Shadow and trying to draw them away from Frodo and Sam. So yeah, that's a much bigger gambit, I think, than the Queen's Gambit in Star Wars.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it fit really well.
I think it fit really well. I think it will sell really well. Yep. I mean, so they of course they're planning on doing a Kickstarter version, a deluxe version. I'm hoping it's going to have some kind of like Dark Tower element, maybe. Because that worked so well for Dark Tower. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just stick with just deluxe components. And then later on, in conjunction with Space Cowboy, is it Space Cowboys? They will be bringing out a retail kind of dumbed down version. Not dumbed down, but not so deluxified.
Not so deluxe, And the good thing is they've the original designers of Queen's Gambit, which includes Rob Davio, but also Alan Roach and Craig Van Ness, are back for designers with some other folks as well. New one. So, it should be pretty good. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely looking forward to this when this actually comes up on Kickstarter. I'm just hoping it's not going to break the bank. I better start saving.
Yes.
Sell some
games. Cancelling your existing ones.
Asmodee acquires Japan brand. So this is quite interesting. They're still buying up IPs and companies. So
yeah, and Japan brand, I mean, they're not huge, but they did things like Love Letter from Seiji Kanai. So it's they have a lot of those kind of Japanese games that they bring in, and maybe they will bring in some more of those hard to find Japanese games. So as part of this, they're creating a new publishing studio called Nekuma, which is going to be based in Japan, which is sounds a pretty cool idea, actually.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting. Yeah, because I know Sam's a bit of a fan of the Japan brand or Japanese little card games. He's just recently been there and tried to pick up several, but only found a couple. So I don't know. Maybe they might bring some more over this way.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, can only be a good thing.
Awakening Realms just had their like kind of keynote kind of speech of what products they're bringing out in the next year or so. And it was interesting because their next old game that they're deluxifying will be Concordia. Which is a good game.
It's a very good game, and it surprised me because I didn't think it would be needing, it's not, I wouldn't think it's old enough to need a new version.
But I mean, the artwork can do a lot of improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it was 2013, I'm just looking up Concordia, so that's only 2 years after Castles of Burgundy, which is fair enough, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Because Castles of Burgundy was remade, 4 years ago now? So yeah, this is the it's going to conclude all the expansions and stuff, I believe. So it could be good.
Could be good
with an art refresh. The thing is, though, they've had a lot of flack from a lot of people saying all the art that there's only, I think, so far the only thing that they've revealed is the kind of promo marketing cover art, and everyone's been saying, "Oh, it's AI. You're using AI again. We can't support you." And they've actually been review bombing the Awakened Realms version on Board Game Geek so much so that it's now got a rating of 4.1 out of 10, just from people review bombing it. And so Awakened Realms had to bring out this, make a statement about the fact that they don't use AI in the final artwork for their games. They might use it for prototyping and for marketing beforehand. As to whether some of their artists use it in the process of creating the artwork, it was a bit woolly, their answer on that, really. But I think they were saying, we aim not to. If it's built into the tools, then sometimes it's unavoidable. They felt they had to say these things about it because they were becoming quite despondent. Their in-house artists were becoming quite despondent about the continual review bombing of everything.
I mean, if they're going off the
7 internal artists or something.
Oh, they've got several. They've got like 100 employees on their books, and like they said, like 10 of them are like in the art department, where it's like they've got sculptors, artists, digital artists, things like that. So it's not that they're not using artists and like that. I mean, you look at the front cover, and you have to be really nitpicky of like where you can see the AI art fragments in there. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, AI is used everywhere. Like, even like the tools that they use to do digital art will use AI in it to help the processing power. It's like, it's not fully avoidable. And I think, as I've said before, it's this witch hunt of trying to break down people's, I can't think of the word now, like, it is really despondent, really. It's like they're detracting from the fact that they're going to bring out this very lovely old classic game that people want as a deluxified improvement of what they used to have. And like what they've done with Castles of Burgundy and Puerto Rico.
And Agricola.
And Agricola is coming out. And I keep getting updates of Agricola of how they're showing the art and things like that, and that proper artists are being used for the final product. It's like, so what if they've used a bit of AI art to get stuff out there to highlight it? It speeds up processes. It's not taking anything away from artists if they're going to use them in the end. So I don't know.
It's a very difficult, it's a difficult one, because it's, as you say, it's very anti in the board game spheres at the moment.
Mm.
They're very against, which I can understand from a lot of their points of view. But at the moment, they're claiming it with no evidence, which is a difficult thing.
Just recently, there was another game on GameFound, Rakat? I can't think of the proper way of saying it, and it was a second edition coming out, and the guy that designed it and is pretty much an artist on it as well was being pulled over the coals by some guy that for some reason had so much time on his hand, wrote out a full breakdown report of all the artwork. He'd gone through picture by picture and broke it all down of where he believed AI art was being used, and it was disgusting and disgraceful and things like that. This report he wrote could have gone through a court system. It was thing. And then the designer also, and he put this up on Board Game Geek, and the designer had to come back with a rebuttal. And like he even stated in his like report, like he went through all the facts that this guy was bringing up and tried to like help and earmark him, help break it down. But then he also said, like, this is detracting for what I'm trying to do. This is unnecessary. He goes, I promised at the final product, there will be no AI art. It is our artwork we are doing. And he says, but now I've got to answer this to basically clear his name and make sure it doesn't affect his campaign that's going on at the minute. But it just feels sad, really, that there is such a thing going on and people getting up in arms.
They're very quick to judge it before they've actually heard the publisher side of the story.
And I think the
work on Realms Art is the cover is very nice. I'm not sure why the lady is looking so despondently sad at holding the basket of fruit, considering the original one had her smiling. They've had to turn off like comments on that image and stuff. But
I mean,
have a read their statement, because it says it all there.
It's really sad as well reading it, because you can feel like their heart is breaking as they're writing it, kind of thing. So I've really felt for them reading through. And I think Board Game Geek really have to do something about turning off reviews and ratings before the game is even published. This review bobbing needs to stop, really. It really can affect someone's livelihood and morale because someone thinks, oh, you used AI art. Well, I'm not going to back this. I'm going to give it a one. So, on to more cheery aspects. Smaller games are about to be the new thing of gaming in 2026.
Yeah, so this is from Nick. Eric Martin.
Right.
Posted this on his news site. Yeah, he's noticed a number of games, which is something we've said as well previously, that games are, a lot of the games get smaller, especially the expansions are getting mm-hmm. very much smaller. And he's identified a number of games that are coming in or being re-released, that kind of the same game being second editioned with in a smaller package with less player count and things. The notable one, which I found was quite interesting, was Catan on the Road, which is a little tiny kind of card game version of Catan, but also Catan Zip Edition, which has got little punch board resources and tokens and little tile holders, and the map book with unique paper maps that you'll draw on with a pen. So it kind of condenses Catan down into a travel-friendly version with all the gameplay, but using this kind of almost like a roll and write pad, but it's just it's not rolling, it's writing on the pad, with predefined map layouts, but you know, lots of unique layouts. But yeah, that sounded really interesting, I thought. An interesting way of doing a version. It was, and that says it's coming in May for retail around $25, which is pretty good. I mean, it's like £20. So probably end up being 25 by the time it sells here. But yeah, pretty small. And there's other ones like Dwarf Romantic Light Luggage, which is a standalone miniature-ish version of Dwarf Romantic.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to reduce any of the gameplay. There wasn't much gameplay in the original anyway. but yeah, so lots of those, if you look at the link, it's an interesting read with lots of these games with much reduced size boxes and components. So yeah, interesting to see what comes out of that.
And then the last news, but we're going to take another downward spiral on this. Unfortunately, is so Dice Tower Tom Vassell just released his review of Robo Rover 2099, I believe that is, and it is a Kickstarter game that I even backed myself. I received it, paid quite a bit of money, and so this is all hyped up to be the next like Dark Tower kind of mission game with a big component in the middle of the board that reacts to your gameplay and does multiple more stuff than what Dark Tower does. It's got lights, it had steam, it's got bubbling effect, it had this card scanning thing and like that, and it was like, wow, this looks absolutely awesome. It was cooperative as well, and they
said it overhyped, didn't they?
They sold it to the world. It's a fact, they sold it to Tom Vassell. Tom Vassell paid his own money for this. Because his son saw it, he absolutely loved it. I saw it, I loved it. I even showed it to Claire, and Claire was like, oh, that looks really cool. That must be. So it was like, okay, let's get this, let's put our money into it. No, it's a heap of shit. It's probably Tom Vassell rated it a 1. I haven't even played mine yet because I've been so busy doing other stuff. But I have also seen in the comments of the Kickstarter, people are a little bit kind of flabbergasted of what the hell is going on with this. This is not doing what it's meant to be doing, kind of thing. And if there was any kind of Kickstarter backer regrets, this is one for thousands of people.
I'm seeing the reviews on Board Game Geek. The average rating is 1.8 on Board Game Geek at the moment.
And the comments 0.8 is generous.
Let's wait for the corrosion. They're just saying it's just a trashy gimmicky toy, not actually a game.
I think they had this idea, and it was all going to be great. But then when they finally came to do it, it just wasn't working out. They put time and effort into it, but I think they were just getting so kind of, this ain't working how they planned it. We're putting far too much money into it. We just need to do this and then send it out to the backers. I mean, I would have personally just like, if they said we can't make this work, it is not going to happen, we can give you, I don't know, half your money back. I probably would have preferred that. If they just held their hands up and said, we've overstretched, this ain't going to work out. But yeah. And I actually haven't looked at any comments now on the Kickstarter and to see if they've actually come back with anything, because he, Tom Vassell threw his in the bin. It was that
literally,
literally threw it in the bin. Oh, I think I'm just going to pack mine up and put it in the loft and forget it ever existed, because I'm not a person just throw shit away. it was one of those. And like, we were at the board gaming weekend, weren't we, Nick? And it popped up on my phone. I was like, and I just read the title and I was like, oh crap, I think I need to watch this. And then I showed it to you and he was like, oh dear. And it was just like, and you watch Tom's, you could see Tom's heart breaking as he's trying to go through this, because he really wanted to work. His son, he even said his son wanted it to work. He was trying to will it to work and it just wasn't doing. And it was just like, wow. And this is a sort of thing that puts people off kickstarting stuff or backing board games. If they all got sucked in and drawn in with their advertisement and their promises, and then they received this, is like, well, that's not going to do any others favors, is it? So so yeah, sad times.
It's a sad one.
On the other hand,
talking of crowdfunders,
well, on the other hand, what a transition. Like, if there was any regrets of not backing a game, then I like the Dice Tower just gave scores of 10 to it's gone completely out of my head. Grim Covenant.
Oh, right,
which is by Relic and Realms. And I have to admit, I literally went on to a shop and brought a copy. Not the deluxe. Because you can't get it all at the minute. But I was about to say, I've got to see what all this hype is about.
It has got some good scores,
It is getting... I mean, a couple of the Dice Tower crew have rated it a 10. I don't know if Tom's played it yet. So you've got two opposites in the spectrum there. Really. But I look forward to it. Oh, sorry, it's just a Kickstarter. It's just caught my eye and I'm just like, oh, what's this? Anyway. Let's see what Grim Covenant's about. Maybe it might make me feel better. But... crowdfunding, some interesting stuff is coming up on Kickstarter, on Kickstarter, GameFound, and and we're going to start off with one that we've been kind of pitching for a while now, and that is Brass Pittsburgh. So
this is the big boy,
third one of this series that's coming out, and it's based in Pittsburgh, America, but I think it's working well. They started, so it's weird. They funded well right from the beginning. Like it hit a million in the first 24 hours, maybe sooner.
Crazy,
But they were getting lots of feedback from people of how they were handling their campaign. And when I first looked at it, and then I looked at what you were getting, I'm like, this is meant to be deluxe, but I can see the difference is I'm getting a plastic tray to hold all the goods in, and that was it. I mean, they had unlockable stuff, but it had set like funding goals and things like that. And it's not, you like in the original one, when they first brought out a Kickstarter for the original, you could get the clay irons money in the box as the deluxe. They weren't even offering this. It was still going to be the cardboard money. You could put the clay irons on as a extra, and they also had the iron coins as well, which is another extra So you can add those on, but you weren't getting a lot for at first for the deluxe game until they made a lot of U-turns on it. and then you could choose between three different box covers. So, they made a lot of U-turns. So for a start, they've scrapped funding goals for stretch goals. They now just doing everyday releases. So they kind of they were just going to reveal one each day. But even that, people said, just show us what we're getting. You know what you're giving us.
Yes.
Just show us, kind of thing. Like, why are you holding back? So they've done that. They've just put all the reveals out, which improves people's willingness to back it. It's improved my willingness to back it now.
Yeah.
Because I can see, wow, I'm getting this component, I'm getting that. I'm just trying to get to it. It's a bloody long way down the page.
I can tell you that. It's quite a long way down.
So they're getting a solo variant now, Nick. That's being released tomorrow.
As they should.
It's a little bit annoying that they're actually doing other stuff for other. So they're releasing Lancashire and Birmingham again in Deluxe Divide, because they brought out No Glare boards and
I saw that. Yep,
synth cards,
PVC cardstock.
Yeah, so it's meant to be more durable, more robust cards.
Yeah.
So they're not only bringing it out for this Pittsburgh one, but they're also bringing it out for Birmingham and Lancashire if you buy them as well. So the only thing they haven't done is done upgrade packs for if you already own those versions, which I
imagine a lot of people are asking for.
I think they are, because it's in the comments a lot. I mean, I'd be maybe interested. You can buy the cards and you can buy the boards, but you can't buy any of the upgraded stuff that they're doing for the other bits. So all cluster different trays will come. They've got lots of stuff. What else they got coming? Two-player map for Birmingham. It's like, that's one of the reveals. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's Birmingham. Well, I don't know if I need that.
I don't need that.
Because you've got whiskey in it. You're now getting 3D resin whiskey tokens, which actually look really cool. They look awesome.
Do they have real whiskey like inside? Field in. That's the super.
And they changed it. Then you're now getting wooden coins, in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is better than cardboard tone. Mm-hmm. One was. You're getting a two-layer insert board for your playboards, which they were kind of on the fence about, because like they said, it's like it's only going to hold the bottom token where you got multiple stacked on top. It's not going to hold all of them, but people wanted it, so they said, okay, we'll provide that. Realistic token, so you're getting oil drums that look actually pretty awesome. Hope they turn out like that.
Yeah, they do look pretty good.
Wooden cubes become metal and stone now, so for your iron and your coal.
Nice.
So yeah, they've done a massive switcheroo on this and probably improved their backing ratings, because they listened. People weren't happy with what they were doing, and
indeed,
so they've changed their approach, which should happen. And they're nearly up to $4 million, and they've still got 15 days to go. So
over 16,500 backers already.
Yeah,
which is a lot.
So if you want a copy, Dust of Pittsburgh, the collector's edition is $150, not including shipping. So it's pricey.
It is. Oh, it's $125. Is that a discounted version?
I don't know then. Why is it? It says 100 and... Why does it say 150 next
Yeah,
to
that's
my
right. It's
minimum?
so it's the 150, it looks like, is the retail
Oh, so
equivalent, and it says
so it's
125.
already added tax on my site
Oh, okay.
because it's
Right.
in my basket at the
Yeah.
minute. I haven't
Yeah,
gone
yeah, yeah.
fully in yet.
So
So
it's
yeah,
$125 without tax. Yeah, that makes sense.
yeah, and then you've still got shipping as well on top of that.
Yeah. And then you can get the Essentials Edition for $79, which is
Oh
just not
yeah,
without the trays and the nice
forgot about
boxes
this
and
one.
stuff. You can get all three games if you want to. One in one collector's bundle for
You can.
$350
Yeah, you
if you
can.
really want to go all. And then, as you said, you can take all the other bits, add-ons separately, like the iron clays, the iron coins, the non-glare boards, the cards, etc., all individually.
So yeah, that's Brass Pittsburgh. Moving on to one I am actually currently back in, because it looks awesome, and it's also got red pandas in, and red pandas are my kryptonite
Your
for
spirit
any,
animal.
any game. I think they playing on my soul here. So it's called Apex Carnivore. It's from the designer of Star. I've forgotten now. Where is it? Star. A little deck building game.
Sorry,
Fast
I'm sorry.
paving. Star Realms. That's it. So it's from the same designer of Star Realms. It's in the similar vein in kind of way, but it's a deck building game. But now you've got animals, and you're trying to fight other animals in the middle row, I believe.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that.
The kind of box covery artwork thing looks very much like Lost Ruins of Arnak. It's very confusing to me. Yeah,
Oh, really?
if you look at the main picture on
What, the
on
one
the
with
page,
the
the one with the red panda holding up the box. That all of that artwork aesthetic looks like Lost Ruins of Arnak to me, but it's
okay.
not. It's totally different.
No.
That's what it looks like. But yeah, that's it looks very pretty. That's
It's
really
a
lovely
cheap
artwork on it.
game. If you just want like a two-player version, or like you can up it to a four-player version and get a mat and a collectible box and things like that. You got the Red Panda expansion to go with it. And yeah, it's doing very well. I think it's gone through most of its stretch goals. It's just got a few more to go. Yeah, it's gone through a lot of it. So yeah, looking forward to that when it comes in. At the
That's very
minute, I'm
pretty.
91 euros, and I think that includes shipping, I believe. I might be wrong on that. But yeah, check that out if that
Very
interests
nice.
you.
That looks really nice, yeah.
Yeah. Here to Slay was another one that was on my radar because I hear the one of the other people on the other podcast bang on about this all the time, how it's a great little card game and things like that. And then they said, "Oh yeah, we're bringing out a game found funding to bring out the next ones and blah blah blah." And you like, it came out, and then I looked at the price and I was like, "Holy moly, no, I don't think I'll be backing you." To get the ultimate a collector's set is nearly $300. I mean, admittedly, you're getting miniatures that are quite cute and pre-painted, but I just don't know if it's worth it. I mean, it's meant to be a quite a simple little card game, but yeah.
But they're doing well. Almost $3 million.
Again, yeah. I
But
thought
you
we
know,
were
it's
in a
I'm
like an
guessing it's
era of like people are struggling to pay their bills and
yeah.
things like that. And the flipping
And
price of
yeah,
petrol
these are
at the
making
minute.
millions of dollars. Yeah. Well, maybe they won't be able to afford the miniature, the plastic for the miniatures by that point. Who knows?
Yeah, this is it. So yeah, if interested in Here to Slay, then that's out on Gamefound 15 days ago as well.
Yeah, it's fun.
Official Cyberpunk trading card game. This is doing gangbusters. I like 11 million pounds.
Wow. And their goal was 75,000. That's insane. 20,000 backers almost. Oh, my word.
It's a TCG game, so it's collectible. It's random packs and things like that. It's based on the video game, Cyberpunk 2077. I don't know anything more about it. I saw it when it popped up, looked at the price, how much to back it. A booster box of 36 boosters is $169.
Whoa.
And then if you want a booster box, two booster boxes, two starter kits, is $349.
That's crazy.
How many backers have they got? 8,200 backers on that one. Bloody hell. And you can go all the way up to $1,000. Nearly $3,000. Flipping hell. Oh, because you're getting like...
And there's a lot of people backing at those levels as well.
I know. 400 people backing at $3,000. You lot are crazy.
99 backing at $8,000.
I don't think even I got this far when I looked at it. Unless it's been added in later on.
Yeah, this is all like... Yeah, it's loads and loads. That's just...
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Well, no wonder they got up to that value for this. No. The pledge level is $8,000.
Oh, my. That's like a mini mortgage just to get a card game.
Yeah. I hope you get a lot with it.
And which will probably be dead in like a year or two because like people got bored. Remember when they just brought out like TCGs and just they came out in the shops and you just like bought a starter set and then you thought, oh yeah, I like this, I'll buy a couple of boosters.
Yeah,
crazy.
This is just buying everything up front. Yeah, all the boosters at once.
Now, the next one, me and Nick played at the weekend and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I knew there was a Kickstarter coming out for the next expansion, and it's Slay the Spire, the board game. And I played the video game. Nick hasn't, but Curly from the other podcast, he absolutely loves the game. And he said, "Do you want to play?" I said, "Yeah, I want to give this a try." And it was really, really good. It's really fun. And if I wasn't backing other things, probably would have backed it. Also, the price of this to get both the core box and the expansion a little bit hefty. And then I think, someone else has got it. Because I know Curly will definitely back this. I'm just trying to find it. I mean, the collector's box on just the core one is $160. You can get a bag. A big bag to carry it all in.
A special bag.
All in. So you get the bag, you get the games, the expansion, extra tokens, mats and things like that. It's $425. So,
and again, they've got 1,600 backers backing at that level.
I know.
Amazing. Well, fair play to them. They clearly know their market.
They do. It was a really good game. It was really like true to the video game. And actually, this cited Slay the Spire 2 on which is now on Steam. You can play where it's multiplayer, people help you fight, where Slay the Spire was just a solo experience. Which I was actually skeptical of how they would do that with a multiplayer function in a board game, and they did it really well. Just kind of diluted the damage and everything down, and people work together to defeat the Rosa monsters. So.
Yeah, it worked very well. Yeah.
So. And again, it's in the millions. Come on if you like. It's funding at 3.5 million pounds. Because mine converts straight to pounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Really good.
Another video game, going to board game or card game version, is Fight Mortal Kombat, deck building game.
Yeah, this is from Cryptozoic, and this is using their classic Cerebus deck building engine, which they use for all the other ones they do, which my name, I forget the name of them, the other ones.
DC was the other one.
Yeah, those are the stars. So yeah, this is Mortal Kombat. You're fighting, I'm guessing, each other?
Yeah.
Or you're fighting against the game again. I think it's against each other. I'll have to read the story quickly. Where's the information? So it's an evolution of the Cerebus engine. Is it going to tell us anything about the gameplay in the first 12 pages? Let's have a look. Yeah, 2 to 4 players. 30 minutes.
What's interesting is it's not got miniatures. You're using acrylic standees, and they're kind of transparent. Yeah. So you kind of got that miniature feel, but also no need for painting and tons of plastic. Which is quite interesting.
It is 1v1 for two players. Right. So it is. It's against each other, not the game.
That's awesome. They got a ton of expansions that you can add on. The finishing pledge is, that's a retailer 2. By me, retailer 1. I went straight to the bottom and I was like, what? No.
Yeah,
so flawless victory, everything included, is $310, which is about £234 if you want it. So you get all the expansions, playmats, sleeves, standees. So yeah.
It's really like Mortal Kombat and you like the engine.
I didn't really like the Cerberus engine. I thought it was a bit kind of basic. But
right.
If they've improved it, maybe it'd be alright. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But doesn't look like it. It just looks like it's probably you put DC and that next to each other and it'd probably just be that. But readdressed. Yeah. Okay, let's get on to the most exciting thing. And that's what we've been playing since, I don't know when now, because like we've done...
Before Fox and Hounds.
Before even, probably last Christmas, really, because like we've had the Christmas show, then we've had like top tens of this year, that year, and every other year kind of thing. So... And yeah, so we've never really talked about what we've been playing recently. I'm going to start with a not so game. So Kienda, the shop in the UK, is it Kienda? Finally shut their doors. I don't know, either just didn't do very well or just had enough of it and shut down shop. But they had like mass sales going on their stock towards the end. And I picked up this game for £2. And I was like, wow, actually, it's worth a go. It is a smallish box. Yeah, I know. And it's Festival. You could put that into the search engine and you'll get tons of stuff come up, not the game you want. It's a polyomino kind of game of your polyomos are audiences or crowds, and you're trying to manipulate them so they go to one of the four stages in the arena and to meet certain requirements. And it was quite clever. I think with probably a little bit more fine-tuning, could have been a really good game. But I think because maybe it got slimmed down quite a bit, it just didn't seem to be enough. Like, there's two decks. There's like a end-of-round deck. If you meet the objective, you score points. And that kind of... also triggers the end of the game. Once that ends, runs out, the game ends. Or there was an objective deck where if you met the requirements, you take that card for scoring later on. And if that one runs out, that also can trigger the end of the game. And I think mainly that one runs out. But that deck doesn't change. The objective deck doesn't change. It's always the same. Where this deck, you take out certain cards and shuffle it and make up, I don't know, 15 cards in the deck. And it's kind of that thing is like, well, you'll get used to the objective deck because you know what's in there. And you could start manipulating, like, when cards come up. So there's, like, barely any randomness to it. And I thought, well, maybe, because only three-ish on show at a time. So yeah, once one's done, then you refill and carry on. But it was kind of that thing is, on your turn, you either put out a crowd because you only start with a certain number, or you move a crowd, and eventually you're able to put all your crowd out. And then you're just then moving it to meet certain, like trying to get it in to meet certain objectives, and people get in your way, and you've got to have like three crowds around a certain stand to be able to score an objective. And yeah, it was interesting. It was fine for £2. It was amazing. But yeah, I wouldn't go back to it. And as I said, if they just, put a little bit more into it, it could have been a lot bigger game to it. Maybe more replayability to it. But yeah, it was fine. As I said, it was £2.
Yeah, for the price, that's pretty good.
Yes. I also picked up Immortals. Mm-hmm. Massive box, wasn't it, Nick? Massive box.
Oh,
from
so big.
Queen Games. For £7.50. Yep. Having that.
That is amazing.
So yeah. But then again, on there was not everything was reduced. It was like it still had some games that were still at full price. It was like, I suppose you don't want to sell that, because if you don't sell it, you probably get to keep it, don't you? So sad it's another shop's bit the dust, but
indeed, there's
always Clownfish Games, which
there are a lot. There are new ones popping up all the time, actually. Some decent ones.
I just bought Fountains from them.
Oh, nice! So, yeah,
which is also Kedrick Winks is
Kedrick.
Game.
Yeah,
who cool. we met at the weekend. So I thought, I'll purchase that and see what it's like. Anyway, detracting. So yeah, festival, it's okay. It's worth £2 if you can find it for £2. Probably not, because Kendra, the shop is now fully shut down. So
indeed.
Come on then, Nick.
So what have I been playing? So we'll do the top one first. So Chris and I went around to Joel's house a while ago now, wasn't it? It was before two, three weeks ago, for like a gaming afternoon. And we spotted Western Legends on Joel's shelf looking like it was sadly gathering a bit of dust. And so I went, oh, I wanted to try that. So we pulled it off the shelf. Joel dusted down the playmat and everything. And we got it out. It was got to play it. And it was very cool. It's a very sandboxy kind of Wild West cowboy-ish kind of game where you are moving your character around trying to do various things to try and get points, heists at banks or rustling cattle, arresting no-gooders around the place. You could do a train robbery if you got to that point. Yeah, lots and lots of different ways you could do things, but it's a very lovely aesthetic in the game. It really brings out that feel of kind of Wild West with the artwork and things, and the playmat was nice, and we it was including the expansion as well, I believe, which is the extra sideboard on the side.
Oh, there's loads of expansions included.
Yeah, so. Lots been there. And it's kind of all driven with this deck of cards where you get to use as kind of you can use them as poker cards at some points if you want to play poker. But yeah, they're kind of your, what do you say, they're either your kind of current, not currency, but your action abilities, because they have powers on as well. And you're trying to move up either on a martial track or a wanted track, and you can switch between the two. You can go from good to bad if you want to. And there's an ongoing story deck which is evolving like a kind of like a cam, and I know there is a campaign in it, but you can do this just a kind of a little flavor to have stories going on. So there's a lot going on, but I think we worked it out in the end. We got the rules just about worked out, and Chris managed to pull out the win on that one, with an asterisk on it, because we realized that he'd played one of the rules wrong. We'd misread. But yeah, it was a really cool game and
What was
a
that?
huge box.
What did we do wrong?
Oh, he was reselling the cattle, selling the cattle off to the
Oh,
whatever
yeah, he's
the bad
taking
guy is
it.
called. Instead of taking them to the other ranch, he was selling to the cattle rustlers,
Yeah, so
which was a different action.
there's two. So you can collect cattle and either take it to the train and get the benefits from doing that and being the good person, or you can take it to the outlaw
That's the one,
hideout, which
Outlaws. Yeah.
is that's it on the other side. But he was actually taking it to the bandits' hideout.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are two different
Which are much
things,
closer.
I think.
Which we just didn't
So
notice at the time.
no, but I was quite surprised because like me and you were like right at the back, and I was kind of struggling for points, but I knew I had a lot of end game score points, and I came in second, but I'm not far
You
from
were
Chris.
second. Yeah, you were quite close. I was way in the back, but I enjoyed it. It was good. Yeah,
It is
it
good.
was
I was like,
nice.
that's, yeah. It took a long time to set up, didn't it?
You had all the 3D buildings and things, which were, yeah, it took a while. It's not like we had to work out what the decks were and what the minis
I
were and
know.
things.
And then
Yeah, I think it was
refresh
worth
the
doing though.
rules. Oh,
Yeah,
definitely. I
learn,
definitely will get it out
relearn the
again.
rules. Yeah. But yeah, so that was a good Western Legends.
Yeah. Do you want to do another one?
And then, yeah, what else have I played? So while my a couple of weeks ago, my dad was in the hospital having an operation. I was there with my mum looking after her, and we had time in the evening to do stuff. And so I brought a few games along to see if she would want to play any of them, because I haven't really ever played any modern board games with my parents. So I started off kind of easing her in with reteaching her how to play Rummy, which is one of my favorite traditional card games. I kind of adapted with 500 rules and Rummy rules, kind of mix them in just to make them a bit simpler. But she really enjoyed that. So yeah, classic Rummy. And then I also brought along the Bust and Stop, which has not linked for some reason. Why have you not linked? Yeah, so Bust and Stop is I picked up at UKG last year, which is a little card game from Sashi and Sashi, which is
Oh, yeah.
about loading your passengers onto your bus and then dropping off the right type of passengers, the right destination. Once you have enough, and you've really fit a certain number in there. Yeah, and that was fun. That was of course she kind of picked that up in the by the end. She was doing well with that. So yeah, that was fun, and I really quite enjoyed it, I think, my mum. So that was nice to see that the nice games keep her distracted and entertained. And then the final one I could talk about, because you played as well, which is Belfort, which you brought along to the club
I was going to
the other
say, it's
week,
my
the other
game.
day. It is your game, yeah. The link again is not copied. I just need to get the link again. So this is an older game. This is from 2011, from Jay Cormier and Seng Feng Lim, one of the early TMG games. Possibly the first. I think we said the last one, didn't we? It's probably the
I
first
think this is
one.
their first one, yeah.
The first one they did, and it's one I've always wanted to try, because I always thought that it looks like I'd enjoy that, and I did indeed enjoy it.
Even
It's
though we got
really
a
nice.
major rule wrong.
Oh, we fixed that. No, we're not fixed. Yeah, we realized that towards the end. But yeah, we'll do that right next time. I don't think it made a huge difference. It may have sped it up slightly, if we'd done that. But yeah, it's a really nice game with a pentagonal board, where you're trying to do like a little area control thing in the board, where you're building cards which are locations on the map that you're then placing on, and the cards you build are like little engine build, which give you special abilities, and you're trying to kind of keep your income going, which you need to then buy, pay the cards, and exchange resources if you need them. But it's got the nice kind of bidding worker placement aspect for getting resources, where you're placing a certain number of your elves and your dwarves on the different spots on the resource track, and then whoever has the most gets a bonus. And you can get more workers as well by spending money on another track. And it's got this really nice kind of evolution as you go through the game of, you know, you don't want too many people early because you have to pay for them, or you get points for them, but you have to pay for them. And if you get too many points, you have to pay more tax, but you need the money to pay the cards, and you want to thing all those up. So yeah, it was a really interesting game. We played it the full five players, I think, didn't we? So it was really, yeah, cool to see. And I think it felt like that kind of wanted to be a five player game because of the way the area control worked. And I'm sure it worked fine at four as well. But yeah, it was very enjoyable. And you
Definitely.
had one of the expansions as well, but we didn't include that because it was all of our first time playing. But I read through those rules for the expansion. Great name for an expansion. And yeah, and it sounds like they that would add some really nice asymmetric player abilities to it, which I think would be fun to add on at some point. So yeah, we'll have to play it again at some point.
Definitely. And the other good news is I bought the third or the second expansion.
Oh, did you find the other expansion?
I
That's
found
exciting.
it. It's pricey, but I finally found it for an okay price. So basically, so the expansion came out, and I, as I said before on the podcast, I found it at UK Games Expo bring and buy, and it was included. Didn't mention it being included, but it was an added bonus for paying 20 quid for a game. I don't
Amazing. Yeah.
think the company had gone down then, because I do
No.
remember looking online afterwards and saying, oh, they brought out a third expansion. Oh, maybe I'll just wait for it to come out in retail. The only problem was it was probably when they did go out of business,
It was soon
which was,
after, yeah, like 2 years after.
yeah, like COVID happened and they just couldn't cope with it. So yeah, this expansion went to backers in some cases, I believe, and then never really made it to retail. So if you, it's called the Queen's,
Her Majesty's Civil Service.
that's it, Imagine
I've just found it. Yeah.
Civil Service. And I was actually looking whether I could kind of, in a grey area, copy it and just
Gonna
make
mock
it
it
up.
up,
But
yeah.
yeah, it just looked too complex. But then there's also I there's not many images of it. Like they've really been, I don't know if
Yeah.
it's a deliberate holding back of what it actually contains, and not. But so it was just like, okay, where can I buy it? And yeah, found it in America, shipping to the UK for an extra £25. I was like, wow. But anyway,
Oof.
it does add a lot more, and it will just complete the game in a way, even though I'm still missing the key, actual metal key they produced.
Right,
Instead of
you can
holding up the
3D
cardboard token that it comes in
print
the game, you actually get
Yeah,
metal key and then
the
also
winner.
metal coins, but I can find metal coins from somewhere to replace if I really wanted
Oh,
to.
indeed, indeed, yeah.
So yeah, so we have that expansion. It looks actually quite interesting because it adds like a queen pawn that moves around and gives you stuff. And then there's a couple of characters that move around the different districts and change the scoring for those districts. So it's like, ooh. So
That does sound cool.
it does. So
Yeah.
yeah, Belfort, old classic game. It needs to be
Yeah.
reprinted. Maybe we need to get
It
a
does.
Welcome Realms on it and they do their
Yeah.
Deluxified on it.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. Yeah, great game. I'm glad I got a copy.
Indeed,
And
as well.
I just spent the last couple of nights printing out a insert for it, so it should be nice and organized when we next play it. My last game I'm going to talk about is called Koi. Koi is a lovely, beautiful peaceful game. It is amazing.
It is.
So I was taught this. So just before Torquay weekend, I popped into Clifton Road Games in Exeter. And there's a couple of the old people I used to play games in there. And mm-hmm. apparently they meet up every Tuesday and play games. Because one of the girls runs a shop now. Doesn't own the shop, she just right. runs it for Steve. And I popped in just to say hi and check out what was going on. And they're like, do you want to play a game? I was like, yeah, might as well. I'm here for, I've got a bit of time. So, my car was being serviced. That's why. I remember what I was there now. Yeah. And... they said, oh, do you want to play this? And I was like, oh, yeah, fine, I'll play anything. It was like, box looked interesting. It's about goldfish in a pond. And there's a difference between koi and goldfish. But anyway, you are literally, so back in Japan, not medieval times, but ancient times? I don't know. Anyway, you are constructing ornamental ponds for the emperor of Japan or the lords of Japan or something like that, basically. And it's really component quality heavy. Like, it feels deluxe in a way. Like, when they were setting it up, I was like, was this a Kickstarter? And they're like, no, you buy it. And I was like, this is amazing. The quality of the components is amazing. And not only that, you get fish that are on translucent
acrylic
tiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, which overlay on top of the pond, which just adds to it. So it's like, this is beautiful. And then they started telling the gameplay, and I was like, at first it took me a round or two to get my head around what's going on. I think I was too dazzled by the components to take it all in. I finally got it, and it is quite simple. You either meditate, which is take a card from the row of cards up front and get some actions or resources, or you work, which is then allows you to build your pond. And you're trying to meet certain requirements and scoring rounds. And once either all the fish have been brought or the deck of cards is emptied, you then go into scoring. And like, it is kind of focused around the fish. So there's three different sizes of fish, so they score differently. But if they're next to lilies, they get more points. And if they're fully surrounded, they double their points. You've got lanterns in there that score you for every hex that's in front of the lantern. You've got scoring cards that are in the deck. Mm-hmm. So depending on what you build or what you've taken previously, score you points. And then you've also got objective kind of goal ornament pieces on the side. So there'd be
shared objectives.
Out of 10, I think there is. Meet the requirements, you can take one of those ornament pieces and put it into your pond area, which is, it could be a bridge or it could be a Buddha sculpt, could be a twig that sits in your pond. Mm-hmm. And they score you extra points and things like that
for various
it was, as I said, it's one of those tranquil, peaceful games. Like, it relaxes you.
It just flows really nicely, doesn't it?
Heightens your like creative side kind of thing, because you're trying to construct this pond, and you could just go for aesthetics and like say, oh, I'm going to build it like this, I'm going to add this here, or you could go the point route and say, I'm going to try and maximize my points out of this. I absolutely loved it. I looked at it, and then when we were at the weekend in Torquay, I showed it to Claire and Becky from the other podcast and taught it to them.
Yeah.
And then Becky brought one copy off of the shop, and then I brought a copy off the shop. Actually, I ended up buying the copy that was in the library because they run out of copies.
Right.
And then I thought it was so good that I actually put it as the play to win game at the Fox and Hound weekend. And many people played it, absolutely loved it. There was a few people that just went and bought it because they were like, I'm not waiting to see if I've won this, I'm going to buy it now. And yeah, nice. it's one of those, I don't know, what are they called, like secret mist.
Oh, like a hidden gem.
Hidden gem, that's it, that's what I'm looking for. Like a hidden gem of 25. Yeah, because I said to her, when did this come out? She said, oh, like last year. She, the person that owned, when I first played it, she kind of earmarked it when she went to UK Games Expo and didn't think much of their first game, which was Bonsai?
Oh, Bonsai, yeah.
But she saw that they're bringing out this game, went straight to the stand, saw it there, bought a copy, loved it ever since. Yeah, one of those. So if you want
a beautiful
to,
and game.
Actually, yeah, reasonable cheap. It's like £30. Like,
yeah,
you can't beat
for
that
the production value. This is really good.
It is.
And it even plays solo, Joel. It's just ideal.
Does it?
I didn't realize it says it has a robust solo mode.
I don't know how it plays, but I do remember seeing it. Yeah, I do remember seeing that in the rule book now. So
yeah.
And it goes 2-player, 3-player, 4-player. I think it doesn't matter how many players you're playing. It works. It's very scalable. So,
yep.
So yeah, that is our podcast endorsement of the show is Koi, I reckon.
Absolutely.
And I think that is...
might be it.
A podcast. Whew.
Amazing.
My voice is going. How long have we been recording?
Yeah,
oh, it's
mine as well.
It's not bad.
It's not been too long. Yeah.
It's not been too long.
All right.
So I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Drop along to our socials and like and subscribe to whatever's there. We've got a Discord channel. Come along, join into the conversations. Nick's always putting up the latest news and Kickstarters and things like that on there. And Sam is usually beating them down and crying about.
he puts his funny gifs on, his funny animations.
And then Lewis just turns up to do recordings, and then has to spend his lifetime updating it. But hey ho, can't win them all. But anyway, we're on there. It's an active Discord channel, talking about anything. And things like that. And Clank's got his own page, which is not used a lot, but it's there. It's funny. That is it. So as I said before, if you want to know about any of the stuff we talked about in the show, it is all linked in the show notes. Nick does a wonderful job doing that. It's pretty much, he's linked it before I've even written it.
Well, sometimes whilst you're writing it.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I came up to start doing the script and I started filling it in, and then I was like, I need to go to the toilet. Went to the toilet, came back, and it was like, okay, Nick's been on. That's a full show written in like space of a few minutes. Okay. So, thank you for listening. It's time to say goodbye, Nick.
Goodbye, folks.
And goodbye for me. Right.
Nice one. Right, I'm ready to stop. Stop recording.
I can't even find it. There it is. Okay, 3, 2, 1.